In the name of the living and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to be very careful this morning and not dwelling on counting the hairs on one's head to be all numbered, especially on Father's Day, when some have less numbers than others in life. Holy Scripture passages you probably did not hear at your baptism. The first one: "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in your synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Scripture reading number two that you won't hear at your baptism: "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You might be saying to yourself, "Well, okay, Father, where is all of the good news in all of that? I mean, we know that the gospel, translated, the word gospel means good news. So where is it? This is Father's Day, and why is it we don't hear love of father and mother?" So John the Baptist's message for today may very well have been, "Happy Father's Day, you brood of vipers." Sounds pretty darn brutal. And you know what? It is brutal. It's brutal work. Followers of Jesus might not be surprised at this. I don't think you are, or I am. A few verses in today's text, the Lord declared, "A disciple is not above the teacher." Simply put, whatever happened to Jesus could happen to any of us who follow him. Jesus treated all people with love and dignity and paid a price for it. He told the truth and was condemned as a result. Completely committed to his heavenly Father, he made enemies and they took his earthly life away from him. If we live by Jesus' model, we will not be exempt from suffering or even the possibility of dying for our faith. You will not be exempt from suffering. More Christians die for their faith today than at any other time in history. And given the times we are in, gospel work can be risky work as well. Our actions and words can create controversy in the community, at home. So what are we to do today in the midst of all of this? We believe in the Son of God. We listen to his words, we find his words in Holy Scripture, and we don't worship the words, we worship the man who said those words. Phil and Nancy were married over 60 years. They lived modestly and both served as pastors in the Salvation Army for much of their adult lives. After retirement, they moved into a senior housing apartment and both lived to be 94 years of age. In her late 80s, Nancy began to show signs of dementia, and she also had profound hearing issues. But living together, both Phil and Nancy were doing okay. Then at age 93, Nancy got out of the car, unassisted, because she forgot she was supposed to wait for Phil to help her. She fell, she broke her hip, and even though the hip was repaired, she never walked again due to her mental inability to cooperate with the necessary physical therapy. Nancy was moved into a nursing home half a block from their apartment, and for the next year and a half, Phil walked to the nursing home every single day. Every single day. And joined Nancy for lunch, feeding her when she could no longer do it for herself. Phil took his vows seriously and served Nancy every day until she died to this life. Quite a witness and quite a cross to bear, but it was done without any fanfare or recognition. Just quietly, faithful service and witness of love. Or maybe this witness is more suitable for you today in today's gospel. It was either a bold gesture of courage or an act of supreme foolishness. The occasion was the state funeral of Leonid Brezhnev, leader of the Soviet Union. For nights and days, the mourners had been filing by his open casket in solemn procession to view. First ordinary citizens, then party functionaries, then generals, ambassadors, and members of the political world, and finally, heads of state of foreign lands. All had come to pay their respects to a man whom, if not widely loved, had been widely feared. Last of all came Brezhnev's widow. And an honor guard of elite soldiers in full dress uniform stepped crisply forward. They stood at attention, ready to ceremoniously close the casket. The eyes of all were upon Madame Brezhnev as she stood in silent reflection before her husband's casket. The widow made as if to move on, and the soldiers reached out to close the coffin lid. But at the last possible moment, Madame Brezhnev darted back and did a very extraordinary thing. She made the sign of the cross on her husband's chest while he was in the casket. There in the citadel of official state atheism, the wife of the man who had run that godless bureaucracy said in effect to all the world that she hoped he was wrong. It was possibly one of the most daring and profound acts of civil disobedience ever committed. All of this took place 2,000 years ago after an itinerant Galilean rabbi struggled down a Jerusalem street, the weight of a cross upon his back. The sign of the cross, the instrument of Jesus' torture and execution, would be traced by the widow of a head of state upon her husband's chest, many miles and centuries removed, is eloquent testimony to the enduring influence of this man, Jesus Christ, to his life and death, and especially his resurrection. Most of you know that we follow a lectionary on which we preach each Sunday. It is a three-year cycle that proclaims the life and the words of Jesus, his ministry, his miracles, and everything about him. This prevents us Father and I from going willy-nilly picking our own readings every Sunday. There is a sequence or a pattern that the compilers want us to unfold, unpack, discern, and understand before we come before you each Sunday. There is a sequence and a rhythm to it, if you will, that helps inform us and prepare us to speak about and to share our faith with one another. Sometimes in the past, the lectionary compilers try to protect us from some of the harder or harshest sayings in the Holy Scriptures. But you can look to the collect of the day in your bulletin, which collect also, the same spelling is collect. It's a collection of thoughts for the day. It's a summary of the lessons, if you will, where our minds and where our hearts are supposed to head if we read the collect of the day. And we as preachers are encouraged to read before maybe a chapter and after what is appointed for each Sunday to see if there's any other nuances that might be running through there. Today was one of those opportunities. I found something in the 11th chapter of St. Matthew, just past our gospel reading for today, but before the appointed one for next Sunday. It is written this way by the evangelist Matthew. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And this is Jesus speaking. Here comes the important part. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. This is important because some theology and liturgical traditions hinge on this and have emerged out of it. In a Seder meal, for example, the Passover, there is a place at the table set for someone who never shows up for the meal. The place at the table is set just like the rest of the places, but the guests pay attention to see if someone appears, namely Elijah, the greatest prophet produced by Israel for God's people. Greatest lawgiver for the Jewish nation we know was Moses, and the greatest prophet was Elijah, who joined Jesus on the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, along with Peter, James, and John. And who joined them? Moses and Elijah. You see, it was prophesied in the book of Malachi that Elijah would usher in the Son of God. And some believe the original Elijah would reappear, just like he did on Mount Transfiguration, while others believed it was another Elijah. Well, maybe Elijah the second or junior. He was to be the forerunner of Jesus, and he would usher in the Messiah. You see, John the Baptist was that second Elijah with a specific task. Was John the Baptist clear about his mission? Probably not, but he was faithful to God. He knew that he had to serve him in that special way. Even John sent word to Jesus from prison asking if he was the one or should we expect another. So Jesus says, go tell John, the hungry are being fed, the blind are receiving their sight, people are being healed. In other words, yes, I am he. To this day, the Jewish nation is still waiting for Elijah to announce and usher in the Messiah. And that is why it is important and makes sense, as Paul Harvey would say, and that is the rest of the story. You see, I have an apology to make to John the Baptist because the compilers don't include that in the 3-year lectionary. So there's no extra charge for that. It's just a gift to you on Father's Day. It is said that we live in a fatherless generation. That is not part of God's plan at all. I can't find it anywhere. But one that we have created in our culture. God's plan for mankind is rather simple. Father, mother, and child, or children, that we refer to as the nuclear family. That is how it works best. But sometimes circumstances in life prevent it from happening each and every time. But God's standard has not changed. The bar has not been lowered. To have it work best, we follow God's plan, and it's still the same. My prayer for you on this Father's Day, for every man, woman, and child in this parish, is this: take up your cross, the one you agreed to at your baptism, and follow Jesus just as close to him as you can. What does your cross look like? Our Lord is counting on you to carry it once you pick it up and carry it into the next life. And for you, I hope it doesn't have too many splinters. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.